Well, let's pray. Lord, as we come to look at your word and as we think about this whole topic of giving today, Lord, would you speak to us? Would you open our hearts, open our hands to be generous and to be obedient to your call this morning? Amen. So if you've been with us any of the last few weeks, you'll know that we've been leading up to today, which is our 2023 gift day. And we've heard from different charities we'll be talking about in a moment each week, telling us something of what they're doing. So this is something we do every year, a gift day, and it's an opportunity for us to give generously to the mission of God, both locally, here in our own neighbourhood and further around the world. Have we got some slides? There we are. So just as a reminder, this isn't the only time that we give to mission. Far from it, in fact. We make a point of giving regularly to various ministries and organisations throughout the year, week by week, month by month. A portion of everything we receive as income is given away as a rule. But this Sunday is about saying we want to go above and beyond. We want to be generous. We want to do as Paul encourages us in 2 Corinthians and excel in the grace of giving. To not just tick the box and say we've done our little giving bit, but to actually challenge ourselves to be really generous. So before we think about the three charities we're supporting, we're going to look quickly at these few verses from 1 Timothy chapter 6 that Robert just read for us. And this is Paul writing to Timothy as a fairly young church leader and really giving him some advice on some of the teachings he needs to be passing on to the church he's caring for. And one of the things he writes about is giving. And basically what he's saying in these few verses is giving is both good for us as givers and it's good for the kingdom of God. So we're going to look at both those things. Firstly, giving is good for us. Does this work? No, I've gone too far. Giving is good for us. Incidentally, did you know it is scientifically proven that giving is good for you? So when you give a gift to somebody, all those happy chemicals are released in your brain. Their endorphins run around. Giving actually lowers your blood pressure and reduces stress levels. So it's scientifically good for us to give it. But don't you love it when science discovers something that the Bible has been telling us all along? It's like God knew. Paul starts by warning us in the verses we've read about the dangers of wealth if it becomes something we cling on to. Firstly, he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Those are challenging words, aren't they? Wealth can so easily make us arrogant. Wealth can easily lead to the amassing of possessions, which can all too easily give us this sense of self-importance or somehow being better than others. Paul says, don't do that. Wealth can also lead to a false security. So again, he warns, don't put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put your hope in God. We know all too well that stock markets can crash, interest rates can fly up and down, property values can change overnight. Wealth doesn't offer us ultimate security, much as we can kid ourselves sometimes that it does. We were singing earlier, Christ alone is our cornerstone. He is Lord of all. He is the firm foundation, who is our genuine security. Now, it's interesting, Paul isn't saying that to be wealthy in itself is necessarily wrong. It seems to be a given that some in this world will be wealthy. But if these warnings of the trappings of wealth are important, then what is the positive? Well, I think firstly, we need to reframe our perspective on what our wealth really is. And Paul reminds us, it's God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now imagine this morning if I said, I am really in need of some money this morning. In fact, I could really do with 100 quid. And I don't know if anyone could just give me 100 quid. Wow. Thanks. I wasn't expecting that, or was I? Now, some of you are thinking, Flip, Ian's generous. I haven't said, can you lend it to me? I mean, thanks, that's mine now. Some of you are probably slightly concerned that he's been manipulated into this. Would it change your perspective if I said, I gave Ian that 100 quid before the service and asked him to look after it for me until I needed it back? Changes our perspective slightly on what just happened, doesn't it? And that's the thing with our wealth. If we see it as ours, the danger is that we don't own our wealth. Our wealth can so easily own us. That was the problem for the rich young ruler. Don't know if you remember the encounter Jesus had with this young man who was very wealthy. And Jesus told him to give everything he had away. Doesn't often ask people to do that, but that was his request for the rich young ruler because his wealth was an idol for him and it enslaved him. If we see our wealth, though, as something God has gifted to us in the first place, it came from him, it's entrusted into our safekeeping, then we're free to enjoy it, but to hold it before him as well, to offer it back to him when he wants, to be free to join in with his purposes when that's what he calls us to do, to bring it under his lordship. If you've been kicking around the Church of England long enough, you might remember the days when we had a collection before everything was digital and QR codes and online banking. And often when churches did a collection, there was a bit of liturgy that went with the bringing forward of the money. And it said, all things come from you and of your own do we give you. I could see a few people joining in. And that's actually from scripture, that those words come from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14. And it's such an important principle. All things come from God. He is the one who generously gives to us. And we get the joy of bringing it back to him. So giving is good for us. It's the way we put all that we're talking about here into practice. Paul says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So as we practice generosity, we demonstrate that we don't want to be arrogant. We don't want money to give us that sense of self-importance. When we give, we demonstrate that we're not going to be enslaved by our wealth. Rather, we're going to be free to hold it lightly. We demonstrate that we get it's all God's anyway. And we demonstrate that we want to partner with him. And the thing about giving is I think it's a little bit like exercise. Now, I don't know what your relationship with exercise is like. But when I was younger, I was not a fan of exercise. I was your classic do anything to get out of PE kind of girl, okay? I mean, my PE teacher would have told you the list of extraordinary excuses I could come up with. And I think it was when I was approaching 30 that a good friend of mine said, Oh, you ought to get some exercise. She said it in love. And she was right. I needed to exercise. And she said, well, you should start running because it doesn't cost anything. And she dragged me out on my first run. And I have never been so miserable, I can tell you. And I let her know how miserable I was about being taken for this run. I ran for about a minute before I, you know, collapsed in a heap. I was like, this is the worst thing. Why would anyone do this for fun? And anyway, she wouldn't let me give up. So we kept going out and I ran a little bit further every time. And then the strangest thing happened. One day, I suddenly thought, I think I'm enjoying this. And you may well know that I am now quite a keen runner. And the more I did it, the easier it got. And I think giving is so like that. The more we do it, the more we practice living freely and openly with all that God has put in our hands, practicing putting our hope and trust in him, recognizing it all comes from him anyway, getting the endorphins that come for good measure as well, experiencing the genuine joy of blessing other people. We realize that giving is good for us, and we begin to experience the real joy that it is. Even if at first it might seem hard, perhaps painful. So is that the only reason we give, though? Do we just give because it's good for us? Well, no, because it's not all about us, is it? I don't know if I'm just doing this wrong or if there's a long delay on. It's now going to... Oh, no, there we go. Giving is also good for God's kingdom. Paul goes on, as we're encouraged to give generously, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now, what he's not saying is that we're somehow earning our way into eternal life by our giving. We know that we are saved by grace through faith in what Jesus has done for us, in all that he gave freely for us. And we'll be celebrating that, won't we, in just a short while as we come to share in communion together. What he is saying is that our giving impacts the world to come. As those who are following Jesus and seeking to walk in his ways, when we give, we are sowing into his work in the world. We get to partner with him. What an incredible privilege. Now, we might not always see in the here and now what fruit comes from our giving. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But Paul is clear, we are making an investment in his kingdom. And that's an extraordinary privilege. And that is really what our gift day is all about. It is an invitation to partner with the work God is doing, both here and around the world. Giving is good for us. And if you're not convinced of that yet, there's one way to find out, and that's to practice. But giving is not just about us. It's about investing in the kingdom of God, getting to join with him in what he's doing around the world, having the joy and privilege of seeing some incredible ministries flourish because of the support that we give, and seeing that money make a lasting difference to their work. How amazing is that? So rather than impact that in a more general sense, I want to recap on the three ministries that we're going to be investing in today. Now, these are three wonderful organisations that we get to support, and in doing so, be part of what God is doing. So the first one we have is the LVA Trust. So LVA stands for Loved, Valued and Able. And LVA teach young people about positive self-esteem, relationships and sexual health through the relationship and social education in schools and through working with young people in the community. And you may remember Kaylee was here a few weeks ago talking to us about LVA. One of their big projects recently has been to develop a one-to-one therapeutic mentoring program, responding to the fact that all the change and uncertainty that we've walked through the last 3 years has had a massive impact on the mental health of young people. It's very overwhelming for many young people today, just navigating life. And so this 20-week program goes through therapeutic exercises and activities and equips and supports young people to understand their own emotional, mental, physical needs and the needs of others, and then to make confident and informed choices about relationships and their lives as a result. So our money will go towards taking on an additional mentor to expand that brilliant work. This is about the church responding to real practical need on our doorstep, by stepping into a gap and loving and serving these young people. So that's LVA. We've then got Riverbank. Riverbank believe that no one should have to journey through life alone. And they deliver hope into communities by equipping vulnerable single mums of all faiths and of none through long-term emotional and practical support in partnership with the church community. Now, Riverbank has been expanding over the last few years, and that's such a joy to see. They've recently launched in Ham, and that ministry is growing and flourishing. And this year, they also want to launch Riverbank in Witten. So our money will go towards employing a new community outreach worker based in Witten who can provide that one-to-one emotional and practical support to single mums. Hopefully also launch a new playgroup for existing and new Riverbank families in the Witten area. And the hope is that will grow and possibly extend to offering schools work in the area as well. So we get the chance to give and see that ministry birthed. Again, what an incredible joy and privilege. And then the last organisation, I am not getting on well with this clicker, is, Jonathan, can you move it? I'm going to give it. Oh, there we are. Is MAF, Mission Aviation Fellowship. MAF's vision is to see isolated people changed by the love of Christ by helping to heal the sick, build communities, support local churches, and bring the love of Jesus reached easily. Now, Kevin was here a few weeks ago, and he likened MAF to the donkey in the story of the Good Samaritan, which I thought was brilliant. The donkey was the one that carried all that was needed to the injured man. So they enable this practical help and physical healing and spiritual hope to be delivered to remote communities. Where flying is not a luxury, it is a lifeline. They serve in 25 countries. They operate over 100 planes transporting food, water, emergency workers, health professionals, medical supplies. And I know I worked for Tier Fund a number of years ago, and Tier Fund heavily relied on MAF planes, particularly in a crisis, in an emergency situation where you want to get to that place, often a remote community, as quickly as you can. You know, you could fly into the nearest big airport in a country, but that might be hours and hours and hours away by road, and MAF would be there to take relief workers to the spot. And in fact, I flew in an MAF plane myself once when I went to Uganda with Turfon, so I can vouch firsthand on just how totally brilliant they are. Our money will go to sustaining this totally vital work that literally hundreds of other charities depend on to be able to deliver what they are doing. So this is making a huge impact around the world. So as we land, giving is good for us. It frees us. It stops us being enslaved by our wealth. And it's good for the kingdom of God. We would love to invite you and indeed encourage you to give as you are able. Now, it's important to say God knows our circumstances. And I'm really aware that those verses we looked at in Timothy are addressed to those who are rich in this world. And some of us will fall into that category. And some of us, on the other hand, will be struggling right now with a cost of living crisis and just struggling to stay afloat week by week. We want to acknowledge that. We want to recognise that. We are all in different circumstances. So my encouragement to you this morning is to give as you can. And if you can manage £5, if you can manage £1, can I urge you to give that? Don't write it off as too small to matter. It might seem like a drop in the ocean, but the ocean is made up of lots of drops, and it all adds up. And those principles that we've talked about remain true. When we give as we can, even if it's a tiny amount, we are putting into practice what God calls us to do, to live freely and generously. It's good for us, and it's good for his kingdom. So if you can give a small amount, please do. If you can give over and above and generously, please do. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you are a generous God. Lord, you have given everything for us. You gave Jesus to give his life for us. And Lord, you richly provide us with so much. We want to acknowledge this morning that all we have comes from you. And we want to ask that you would help us to know what you are asking us to give this morning. Lord, help us to excel in this grace of giving, that it would both be good for us and that we would sow generously into the work of your kingdom, both locally and around the world. We would know the joy of being able to support people doing amazing things in your name. And we pray this in your name. Amen.